changes?
No, that was several. It was just broke oil changes and maintenance. I think the transition cost on one vehicle going to another, switching over. That was several weeks worth in there.
Okay, right. Good enough. Thank you, Rex.
Anything else?
Mr. Chairman, the Pioneer Cemeteries, that's just an annual update, correct? That's
correct.
Just something about again.
And well, you mentioned something there on the Pioneer Cemeteries. Dave, that township packet you gave states in there that the cemeteries are township responsibilities.
That was probably old information.
That was 73.
Back from the 70s, yeah.
Yeah.
I believe there was some more recent statutes that...
And that's what I assumed there was.
I remember Ed Aiden did that a while, and then you took over Ed's chair, and you worked on that a while, and... You know, and then I've been investigating it some, but currently each cemetery, we voted as a board $5 per cemetery, but the state says the counties will provide for maintenance for all Pioneer cemeteries.
500. Mark?
I didn't get some of this information until later last evening, so I didn't get a chance to make a packet yet and get on the agenda, but I just wanted to cover... the report that I received from Paul Delage, who's the FEMA representative on the storm from November 16th of 09. That's FEMA disaster 1864. And we have the totals here of what the townships that did apply. Again, we contacted, I know Marlon and Emily contacted, I contacted, and the FEMA had contacted, and NEMA has contacted a lot of the townships. Some did not wish to apply. For whatever reasons, I don't know. And I'll add that into the packet, which one of those townships did not apply. But we did make contact with all the townships. This storm affected pretty much the townships, anything south of 136. We had the power outages, and there was the heavy snow that caused. The damage was to, of course, Norris had over $1.5 million worth of damage in Gage County alone. So there, of course, that's our biggest loss, and that's why, because of their loss, we were able to apply for local funds. And those funds mostly are for damages done to the roads because of Norris having to get on the roads and temporarily repair the lines, and then coming back and permanently repairing the lines because of all the snow we've had. They've tore the roads up even worse. Not their fault. They had to do it, or else we would not have power. So we're not blaming Norris at all for that. So, but these are the totals. Had four townships that applied. City of Wymore applied and Gage County applied. For the townships and City of Wymore, had a total of $152,490. And then Gage County alone, with FEMA, I know, has been down a lot working with Marlon and Emily, and they've done a good job, obviously, because of keeping track of everything. We've gotten back $69,000 from FEMA for the county portion of it. And then we had a shelter that we opened up in Wymore, actually two shelters, the Wymore Fire Hall and the Good Samaritan Home in Wymore. And we had volunteers that staffed those shelters and the Emergency Operations Center. Since the one wasn't operable here in the courthouse, we opened the EOC in Wymore. And for donated resources, that'd be the volunteers and things we used during that time was $3,153. So, take out the donated resources just alone that the township, City of Wymore, and the county received, come to $221,490. So I think those, you know, that shows some of those tax dollars coming back out of Washington back here to put rock back on our roads and repair those roads. One of the, I guess, the highest amount, I'll just let you know, is Island Grove Township. They had $70,301. And that's almost triple, probably triple their normal budget. So if they would not have had, you know, that money to fix that, I don't know what they would have done. You know, that's a lot of damage to the roads. So they should have a lot of rock on the roads when they get done fixing everything. So because they will be audited. I mean, this is something that, and they're told that, is that this is just not a free check and you do what you want. They're going to come back later and say, we want to see what you've done. So they're going to have to repair the roads. They're going to have to put the rock on the road and new stuff. So I just said, I'll make up a little packet and get it to everybody by the next meeting. Yes?
Question, those townships who have chosen not to apply, what are the reasoning that we're hearing with these significant amount of dollars?
I can tell you that I know, and Emily's here in the room, there's a lot of paperwork. I mean, that's a lot of paperwork to do, but when you're talking about, when we're talking about a lot of paperwork versus $70,000, you know, and FEMA, they can kind of drive you crazy over the paperwork, but when you look back at it though, again, $70,000 worth of, I don't know what you've been working, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, probably solid, pretty close. Even though we have a salary involved in getting that much money back, it's still well worth the time. So it is, the paperwork scares them. And I think the townships I talked to, and I know that Paul did these, some of these, Mary did some of them, a couple of different people did these. They said that the FEMA representatives were really helpful. And they do try to help. It's just they're doing a job, too. They have paperwork they got to follow. It's just like any grant or anything. You have to documentation. And they were, I guess, I'm hoping they did not think that for sure, because we've not received the disaster for the Christmas Eve storm yet. We don't know if we're going to. You know, they haven't had to appeal it yet. So I think it's still set in there as far as we know. Yes, as of yesterday, the president just hasn't signed it yet. If it's due because of all the snow and stuff they've had out there, I don't know. But I know that some of the senators have talked to the president and et cetera and trying to get this sped up a little bit, because there is a lot of damage from, we haven't even seen yet, a lot of the damage that's going to be to the roads. So,
well, it concerns me that we can't find a vehicle somehow, whether we need to provide some help, somehow do something to work with the townships relative to the paperwork. But when we talk about the issues that Shirley brought up and we were visiting about earlier, about property taxes and about the amount of money that we're spending, and then I see townships who are just basically, I don't want to fill out the paperwork, so we'll let thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars just go down the drain. We can't afford to do that, and I think those townships need to be made public.
Yeah.
So the people who live in the township and the people who live in this county understand who's not applying.
It's not because we didn't try to get them to. I physically went out to them, I made sure I talked to at least two members of the board. I didn't allow just one member to say no. I went and found another member and said, are you guys sure you don't want to apply? You know, kind of begged some of them to, and to explain to them there's no guarantee that we're going to get the December Christmas Eve storm. And so we did put some time in trying to talk to them, visit with them. What surprises me is we had one township called me that morning on the 17th and said, hey, we're going to need some help from FEMA. Are you going to fill out a disaster declaration? Well, we'd already had. The chairman had already signed it. Yes, we filled out a declaration. No guarantees again until the president signs the final dotted line. There's no guarantee we'll get that money. So we explained to them several times. And the one that called me that morning at 6 o'clock on the 17th called me and said, are we going to get anything? What do I need to do? The typical is you document everything and you take pictures. They never even applied. They were upset that day, but never applied. And
Danny brings up a very valid point, though, because it's the same townships that don't have, let's use Island Grove, $70,000 to Spot Rock. Who are they calling for Spot Rock because they didn't fill out the paperwork? And it'll be Marlin that you're probably already getting the calls on, we need Spot Rocks on some of these locations. But still, they're calling you for it, though.
Well, they haven't yet.
But they will. I mean,
what we've told them all is during the FEMA disasters that we would just assume that they went and got a local contractor to haul it. It's just easier to keep it separate. And so they're willing to pay for that.
Okay, but I'm saying that's on the FEMA declared.
Where
Denny's saying they're not applying, they're going to come to the county for Spot Rock.
Yeah.
Right.
And Gary?
Well, I was just going to say, I believe one of them, it amounted to a third of their total budget, what they could get back for filling out the paperwork.
Well, the one's three times their budget.
There's a prime example. Yeah. At what point, I mean, it's their responsibility. They're going to have to, where do they go then, as Denny suggested, to get help with the paperwork? You, Emily, or Marlon?
We've never turned anybody down to help them.
I tell
them what to do, and basically the FEMA guy comes and does it for them. I mean, they'll help. They'll sit down with you, especially the guys.
I've talked to FEMA. So, they're more than willing to do everything they possibly can to see this.
And they know they can call us, and we'll figure out a way to get them something. I mean, but the FEMA guy comes with his laptop, sits down in their living room with them, and says,
what do you think the problem is?
It is. So they're just, it's scary. It's time-consuming for the ones that don't have the time to do it, and et cetera. I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to make excuses.
I will make a statement. It's irresponsible.
Yeah, there you go.
And I don't think it's any question about it. And I think those townships, the names of those townships that are doing that need to be made available to the news media. I think it absolutely is imperative.
If we get the storm, the disaster declaration for the Christmas Eve storm, we'll have 38 applicants in Gage County because of our townships. Normally a county has one and then one for each village or city, but we'll have 38. You know, if we think at that point that we need to, you know, it might be worth the county's, you know, some of the responsibility is to bring someone in part-time to help us contact and make sure and visit them people, because that's, I know what it took me to just contact these half of the townships, and I know that there's going to be a lot of stuff, especially with the villages involved and stuff. If we have 38 applicants for the next storm, that's going to be a considerable amount of money.
What do you suppose the reaction of this board would be if you came to us and said, you just didn't have time to do that paperwork to fill this out, and so we aren't going to do any of that? What do you suppose the reaction would be?
I'd probably be down the road.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right, and that's what should happen.
Well, they came to our house.
Yeah.
Personally, they came to our house and sat in and helped Ian with the paperwork, and then he went out with them in the pickup, and they took pictures and that, because he often kind of joked about it, what the neighbors would think if he was driving around with this lady all the time.
But I just wanted to give you an update, and I'll make copies of the packets and
appreciate it.
Do some maps.
Really,
and
thank you, Mark.
Yep.
Appreciate it.
For security system. What is that?
Well, Wim asked me to if I could help with that today. If you remember in the committee meeting, Buildings and Grounds Committee meeting, there was a question on a $17,000 figure that the security company had put in, Control Services Incorporated had put in to do some labor. So if they came to a wall and they needed to put a hole in it, if they needed to remove something, if they had to jump over something, that they had a $17,000 figure in there that you questioned, a couple of members questioned. And we went back, talked to them again, Wim visited with them, and instead of doing a flat $17,000 and not having to do anything, we went on time and materials. So what this change order is to make that, instead of us them being billing us $17,000 flat, if they need something, starts right in here, to install security systems related cabling to provide signal and low voltage power to and from any device where a route or path is not already available. All work associated.
I'll cover a little of the report. I guess our hearing is supposed to be at 9 for the road and bridge, 1 and 6. Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do that then.
Yeah. But and before we go to that, I'll kind of highlight the changes. It's in your report on the first page, the 1 and 6 year plan. Clear to the bottom, it's new projects and projects moved from the 6-year plan. That C-34981 is the North 12 Paddock Bridge that we just you just approved the quotes on. Anything under 60,000, you can approve a quote when it's talking about bridges according to state law. Then the other ones, there's another bridge in North 14 Rockford that we just repaired last week. It's on the 6-year plan. We repaired it because it's a 55-foot bridge. It'll be a year or two before we can get that scheduled. Then we got C-34983 is North 10 Liberty. That's already been sized for CMPs. There's another one, North 34 Liberty, North 1 Philly, sized, and then East 32 Paddock's been sized, and then there's two in Hanover that they're 20 by 16 foot timber bridges that we haven't sized yet. We have the engineering company size them for and do us a hydraulic study. I think you've seen some of them at Roden Bridge or somewhere. So, and that's basically all the changes. The rest are carryover projects or projects that were completed last year. So it's all in that report.
Okay, need a motion to open public hearing for the 1 and 6 year road.
So moved.
Moved by Bauman.
Okay.
Seconded by Gronewald. Discussion. Vote. 6-0 in favor. Okay, Marlin, I guess I'm just reading this down on Is there any member that should abstain? I'm supposed to ask that on a public hearing. And if not, Marlon, your report.
Well, I guess I gave that to you already, but basically you see the list of projects that were moved to either moved from the six-year plan or added to the one-year plan. So we did get, I think it was 16 projects done last year, even with all the grading and stuff we did. So all the shouldering and grading we did took quite a bit of time also. So any questions on the 1 and 6?
Do you have your PowerPoint like you've done in the past?
No.
I assumed that, but I thought I'd ask.
That was overhead, I think. But I'm trained in PowerPoint now, but I haven't got the equipment yet.
So. Is there any way I can get that North 66 into the one-year plan sometime?
Or Blacktop? It's there.
It's there.
You just got to have the money.
Yeah,
it's
well, maybe we'll get
plan.
It in the inheritance sometime.
Do you have an estimate for that, since it's going from gravel to asphalt?
That's what going it would to be cost for a mile.
It's probably going to be, you know, I think it was 6 inches we're putting on that. I think, you know, we're looking at $150,000 a mile probably for asphalt. You know, you're going to have to do some little preparation. You know, we're going to have to mill it just to get that real flat base. And
that would be, that has to be 24-foot wide,
right,
doesn't it, for an upgrade instead of the 20? You know, most of our asphalt roads are, effectively, they're all 22-foot unless it's something we took over from the state or something. But this would be 2 foot wider.
Right. It's built according to the specs, minimum design standards. So.
Well, I would think, geez, what did our last 2-inch overlays cost us? So I think 150 is on the low side in
and
my estimate.
I would, yeah, the 3-inch I think ended up being, yeah, that
over 100, wasn't it?
Yeah,
105 or something.
Something like that.
So I'll bet we're looking at 250 a mile. I wouldn't 200 to 250 would be my best off-the-cuff guess.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate the information. I think you should. All right, thank you.
Yeah, it actually.
Is there anyone in the public that wants to sign up and speak on for or against anything on the 1 and 6 year plan?
That should cover all of our costs on that mile.
Need a motion to close public hearing.
So move.
Second.
Moved by Barnard, seconded by Bauman. Discussion. Vote. 6-0 in favor. Need a motion to adopt. 10-02.
So move.
Second.
Moved by Anderson, seconded by Gronewald. Or not Gronewald, Bauman. To approve the resolution 10-02 adopting the Gage County 1 and 6 year Road and Bridge Improvement Plan. Discussion. Vote. 6-0 in favor. Marlon, what else?
All right. We got the rock bids coming up a little bit. But I'll go on to the federal projects.
Sure. Can you pass this back?
I do have the new STIP plan that just came out February 9th. I just made one copy. You can look at it. I looked at it as soon as it came out, and our Beatrice North project is on 2013 plan, so I immediately called up there, and they said, well, it should be on the 2010, and I said, yeah, but it don't say it, so I...
You mean Hickory Road.
Yeah, Hickory Road, but they all assure me it's on there. I sent an email. They said send an email because that way we'll remember to get it on there, but they assure me it is on the... 2010 step. So,
keeping Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Dave.
Comment. Can Minnelli play a important part in making this? I mean, he's in Lincoln and probably with Roads Department. I mean, I guess he's the one that designed it, wasn't he?
Right, he designed it.
I mean, it seems like he's the one that should be damn near almost every day pestering them or something.
There's a risk there because of the
where that has the roots on them. I'm assuming
right,
they're all
right. And we'll I give it to the whole board.
Yeah, just
it's,
copy
it's
those.
It's a map, is all it is.
Copy those and get them to us.
Yeah, we got them. You gave them probably 6 months ago, 4 months ago. I don't remember really.
Several. It's probably been a couple years.
But has it been that long ago?
Quite a while. So if you've got current ones or
I can
current operators,
current ones.
And again, just folks don't want to beat. We're beating this horse mercifully to death, but we've had a couple guys recently retire, and that's kind of why this is a hot subject again. You know, do we hire, do we replace, who's going to be the maintainers? And I think that's kind of what's triggered this conversation in the last week or two.
I would say that's probably absolutely correct, 100% correct. Yeah. It's just looking at through attrition, are we continuing to do things? And Marlon's done a good job. He pulled some folks off the asphalt crew and threw them in the motor grader, so he's using some folks that are, I don't know.
I gave him the jobs ready, so. I mean, there's another one coming up for retirement next year, so if that's what you guys plan, then that's the way we can go. But.
And that's where I'm coming from. Every time we look at that, just are we continuing to be as efficient as we are? And I know that over the last year, several positions, 37 down to 32, so there's been some reductions, and I would just applaud that. Keep looking at it. Are we as streamlined as we need to be? Are we getting too? Are we too lean? Do we need to grow a little bit?
There's been reductions, and there's been added a lot of added duties, so, you know, it's...
Well, we have a 9:30 hearing. Can we continue after that then, Marlon?
I was pretty well done.
Okay. It is 9:35. Accept, reject, or award rocks and gravel bids. Need a motion to close the bids.
I so move.
Second by Gronewald, second by Bauman to close the bids at 9:35.
Bid price $825. Gravel. Adams A 1516, Emaw 1492, Highland 1414, Claytonia 1335, Grant 1269, Holt 1335, Hanover 1415, Hooker 1493, Philly 1418, Logan 1336. Midland 1250, Lakely 1190, Lincoln 1116, Riverside 1178, Rockford 1324, Sherman 1415, Island Grove 1420, Blue Springs Wymore 1330, Sicily 1244, Elm 1150, Glenwood 1155, Paddock 1230, Barnston 1310, and Liberty 1390. Next one is from Beatrice Concrete. It's a rock bid. They have pit prices. Their pit prices. Screening's $545, crusher run, no bid, a 1-inch crusher run, no bid, 1.5-inch crusher run, $1060, 3/4-inch crushed rock, $1155, 1-inch crushed rock, no bid, 1.5-inch crushed rock, $1155, 2-inch crushed rock, $1155, 3-5-inch rock, $1155, and riprap, 6 inches above, $1235. Then rock bids from Beatrice Concrete. Total cost, that'd be out of the site's quarry, I'm assuming. Adams 1708, Nemaha 1621, Highland 1546, Claytonia 1621, Grant 1546, Holt 1477, Hanover 1546, Hooker 1621, Philly 1439, Logan 1375, Midland 14, Blakely 1439, Lincoln 1464, Riverside 14, Rockford 1355, Sherman 1439, Island Grove 1469, Blue Springs Wymore 1388, Sicily 1464, Elm 1533, Glenwood 1609, Paddock 1533, Barnston 1477, Liberty 1546. Next one is from Consolidated Sand and Gravel. It's a gravel bid. Pit price is $870.
The price first, and then it's all, then go.
That's the Alexander pit.
Pits.
Adams 1810, Emaw 1736, Highland 1660, Claytonia 1585, Grant 1510, Holt 1635, Hanover 1710, Hooker 1785, Philly 1710, Logan 1635, Midland 1560, Blakely 1436, Lincoln 1499, Riverside 1599, Rockford 1673, Sherman 1710, Island Grove 1785, Blue Springs Wymore 1710, Sicily 1648, Elm 1574, Glenwood 1523, Paddock 1599, Barnston 1673, Liberty 1746. Next one's from Consolidated Sand and Gravel. Green Bank Gravel bid. Pit price is $810. And this would be out of the pile pit. Adams 1702, Nemaw 1626, Highland 1550, Claytonia 1476, Grant 14, Holt 1488, Hanover 1564, Hooker 1639, Philly 1564, Logan 15, Midland 1414, Blakely 13, Lincoln 1276, Riverside 1389, Rockford 1539, Sherman 1576, Island Grove 1650, Blue Springs Wymore 1564, Sicily 1426, Elm 1350, Glenwood 1313, Paddock 1389, Barnston 1463, Liberty 1539. Next one's from Martin Marietta, Weeping Water. It's a rock bed. Okay, we have Marietta Weeping Water pit quarry prices. Screenings $985, 1-inch crusher run $1110, 1.5 crusher run $1110, 3/4-inch crushed rock $1110, 1-inch crushed rock $1165, 1.5-inch crushed rock $1165, 2-inch no bid, 3-5 no bid, rip wrap 6 inches above $1690. Then we have Martin Marietta Weeping Water Quarry. What did that other one say?
Weeping Water.
One of these has got to be DeBoer. Well, it's the same thing. Okay. Okay, the one was in Weeping Water. This is Boys. 985 for screenings. 1-inch pressure run, no bid. 1.5 pressure run, 1110. 3-inch crushed rock, no bid. 1-inch crushed rock, 1165. 1.5-inch crushed rock, no bid. 2-inch crushed rock, 1165. And riprap, 6 inches above, 1690. And the last one's from Perford Limestone, Weeping Water. Crushed rock bid. Looks like for 1.5-inch crushed rock was the only one they bid was $12 a ton. And they got two bids for $12 a ton. I'm trying to figure out what the difference is. Same section, same. Just two copies of it, so. That's it.
That's it. Need a motion to accept.
So moved.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Barnard. Motion to accept all bids. Discussion.
Mr. Chairman.
Matt.
Just as a point of discussion, I know I talked to Dave about it too. When we go through, we accept all these. Marlon, is it correct to say that we prioritize these and we go through based on price? And if someone can't deliver, we call somebody else. So
right.
Got a whole. That seemed like twice as many as we did last year, wasn't it? Is that a lot?
Yeah, and there's quite a few more than usual. And like Emily will go through them and figure out which one's a low bid for each township, and that's.
So then for each township, whoever's low bid, they're the ones that get the first call, and then...
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was that?
Rattlesnake.
Okay. Vote. 6-0 to approve. We have a 10 o'clock public hearing. We are going to take a 5-minute comfort break before we start.
In Weeping Water. This is Boys. 985 for screenings. 1-inch pressure run, no bid. 1.5 pressure run, 1110. 3-inch crushed rock, no bid. 1-inch crushed rock, 1165. 1.5-inch crushed rock, no bid. 2-inch crushed rock, 1165. And riprap, 6 inches above, 1690. And the last one's from Perford Limestone, Weeping Water, crushed rock bid. Looks like for 1.5-inch crushed rock was the only one they bid was $12 a ton. And they got two bids for $12 a ton. I'm trying to figure out what the difference is. same section, same. Just two copies of it, so. That's it.
That's it. Need a motion to accept.
So moved.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Barnard. Motion to accept all bids. Discussion.
Mr. Chairman.
Matt.
Just as a point of discussion, I know I talked to Dave about it too. When we go through, we accept all these. Marlon, is it correct to say that we prioritize these and we go through based on price, and if someone can't deliver, we call somebody else? So
right.
Got a whole, that seemed like twice as many as we did last year, wasn't it? Is that a lot?
Yeah, more? There's quite a few more than usual. And, like Emily will go through them and figure out which one's low bid for each township. And that's.
So then for each township, whoever's low bid, they're the ones that get the first call, and then.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was that?
Rattlesnake.
Okay. Vote. 6-0 to approve. We have a 10 o'clock public hearing. We are going to take a 5-minute comfort break before we start. We're going to start reconvene the Gage County Board of Supervisors. Attendance by observation: Anderson, Groenewald, Bauman, Adams, Byers, and Barnard. 10 o'clock public hearing. It is now 10:08. We need a motion to open the public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Bauman. Oh, okay. Yep, I am off on that. We're going to have to change that, Matt and Danny, to recommendation from the Gage County Planning Commission first. So need a motion to...
We'll make that motion to open the... Hear the recommendation.
Yeah, just hear the recommendation. So we don't need a motion on that. Okay.
For the record, my name is Lisa Wiggins, and I'm addressing from the Planning and Zoning Commission. First of all, just to bring you up to date, in the last couple of weeks, we had a reorganizational meeting, and we had three new members come in, as all of you know. I'm addressing you today as your new chair of P&Z, with David Zimmerman being voted as vice chair. So it's apparent on our commission that everybody is very eager to get started with three new members coming in and working with the Hannah Keelan Group, and also with researching the wind generation being proposed for Gage County and writing those regs. In front of you, we handed out the commission's letter of recommendation. That is a letter of recommendation for approval for the special use permit for the proposed rock quarry. Our vote was 5 yes, 1 no, and we had 1 absent. Please keep in mind that this is the second time that the rock quarry comes before you. The applicant started over in the process of P&Z. The first application came in July of 2007. The applicant came forward to P&Z, went through the process, paid the fees, held the public hearing with our commission in December, and now today that's the reason the issue is coming back to you for your consideration. The commission's findings are based on the facts that were presented to us at the December hearing. So those concerned parties, those closest to the project, got together and came up with an agreement. And the agreement addressed all the issues that all of us were concerned with the first time that it came around. I'm certain that you will see that agreement come before you if it's not there already. The commission wishes to commend those individuals, certainly for working together and coming up with an agreement. The process of zoning for us is made much easier when those affected took the time, and that's exactly what they did. So based on our findings, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval on the special use permit with the outlined conditions of the agreement, which was signed by the neighbors. Otherwise, if there's more information that you need, the commission asks you to table so that the applicant does not have to go through the entire process again. So, questions? Okay.
Is there a sign-up sheet for those that want to? Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, now we need a motion for the public hearing to open public hearing on support of special use permit 0905.
Second.
Moved by Bauman, seconded by Byers. Discussion. Vote. Abstaining is Barnard. And Gary, what's your reason on
that? I have to abstain because, as before, I had a prior business relationship with one of the people involved in this project.
Okay. In favor, Anderson, Grunewald, Bauman, Adams, and Byers. And any other members need to abstain? And if so, state the reason. And, okay. Those that have signed up in favor, or do we need to hear a report from Marlon? Do you want to touch on anything there, Marlon, before we start hearing reports?
My report was on that letter from the Planning Commission, basically the date of application, the fee was paid, how many landowners and when they were notified, when it was placed in the paper, so it's all there in front of you.
Okay. Who has signed up to speak? Can I have that list?
Yeah. Anybody else need to sign up? Yeah. It'll look like it. There's a couple had a question mark, so...
Okay, to speak, Jamie Renshaw.
Jamie Renshaw, 518 Perry Street, Odell, Nebraska. I don't really have anything new to offer from what we've had, discussions we've had in the past. But I do want to say and be on record that, I know our P&Z process in this county is not, it's not a very old process. I can remember when that process was first being discussed, at least, let's say, in my lifetime in Gage County. And I know there was a lot of concerns both ways, but I truly believe that this is a really healthy process. And I think the county should be congratulated for installing this process. I found that people who serve on this board not only to be intelligent, but also to be very caring. I find them to be very judicious. I think we spent probably 6 hours with these individuals, and I saw nobody holding back on their concerns or their questions, and I thought it was very thorough. So again, I think it's a healthy process, and so, I believe it's a process that the county is wise to continue, not that you're looking at discontinuing the P&Z process. With regard to the neighborhood group, I'm going to guess, again, I didn't keep track of time, we probably spent at least 12 hours together in a room discussing the issues and the concerns. And we, again, it wasn't one 12-hour block. Sometimes it was an hour, sometimes it might have been 2 hours, but it was a back-and-forth process. We probably shook hands maybe two or three different times, but finally came to a conclusion where I think we could all agree that we were finally there. So I think that was a healthy process also. I will tell you, though, that we are pleased as a quarry operation that we now have had over 3 years with zero fly rock. So we have found a way to contain the fly rock. I think some of you had a chance to come and visit the site, and you were able to see, what happens when there is a blast. And so, again, you can see how it is controlled. I believe we were probably about, for most of us, most of you, when you came to see the blasting, we were probably about 250 yards away. Again, there were no barriers there, and you can see that, again, it's a very safe environment today that and we know back, and there was times past when it was not a safe environment. We will agree with that, but we have found ways to do that. I think the other thing that we've talked about that I'll just remind everyone of is that this operation of mining rock in this area has been going on since sometime in the 1950s, and maybe as early as the late 1940s. I can't really find exact record of when mining started in this area, so it's been going on a long time. And as far as I can tell, I've not been able to find where any accident has occurred to any properties, either the neighboring properties or anybody who might be visiting by driving through that area. There's been no accidents. So, again, I think even though we know there were times when there was fly rock, again, maybe it's just simply the odds were against a rock hitting something. But, again, other than rocks, we do know rocks did land on neighboring properties in the past. We as a company have tried to deal with that. And I think we've done it appropriately when people have notified us that they did find a rock. Again, that was prior to this last 3 years. So that's all I have to say. Again, I appreciate what Lisa has said because, again, it is a good group. They did do due diligence, and I was very impressed with the quality of the people that have chosen to serve on this group.
Thank you. Ross, do you choose to?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ross Stepon, 3846 East Locust Lane, Holmesville, Nebraska. I just have a couple, I guess, comments or maybe questions. I don't know what you want to call them, but this permit, the way I understand it, a special use permit, can be changed at any time if everybody agrees to it or somebody brings it before the board again. But as long as, like, I have signed this agreement, you know, the little piece of paper saying that we've agreed to this. If, for instance, I just sell my property, just because my name signed on this permit still stays in place unless Mr. Schoenweiss or someone brings it before the board.
Yes.
And, okay.
He says yes.
Okay. Well, I had talked to, last time I asked kind of the same question, they advised me to seek legal counsel, so I did talk to an attorney. So that's really all I have, as long as I'm fine with it.
Okay, and it does state in here that they have come to an agreement with Gary and Lynn Remmers, Ross and Joanne Stefan, John Hill, Jamie D. Renshaw, Harlan D. Schoenweiss, so it does state that in their special use.
Well, and it actually incorporates the agreement into the resolution as an exhibit.
Okay.
So, yeah, so long as the agreement is complied with, then the special use permit remains in full force. If the agreement is not complied with, then the Planning and Zoning Commission can come back and remove the special use permit or do what they need to do.
Okay. That's all I have.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Lynn, you have a question mark also.
Well, Ross and I kind of have the same thing, but I don't understand that.
Yes.
I guess I didn't understand what you meant by, can they, like in a year, come and try for the special permit again and change it?
Well, a special use permit is just that, a special use permit. So it is tailored to that particular special use. So if they were going to go do something else, then they would have to get a different permit for that and make the application process and do that. So it would be a public process. There's no way to just come in and quietly change this special use permit.
And they've agreed to hook us up to rural water, correct? And
it doesn't say it in what I have.
Only what's in the written agreement is what has been agreed to with respect to and referred to with respect to.
It should be with the resolution somewhere. It isn't.
The resolution attaches the agreement. Is the agreement attached there?
That's all I have.
Don, the agreement itself was provided to you, and it was supposed to be attached as an amendment to this.
The attachment was this, unless I didn't. I printed it off, and that's what printed off.
We should have a copy of the actual agreement, and that is what's referenced.
That's the letter. I have it in my file across there. I can go get one.
That's what we need. We each receive a copy.
We're going to take a 10-minute recess. We have your information. We're going to reconvene again. We're out of the recess. Anderson, Grunewald, Bauman, Adams, Byers, and Barnard. Excuse me. Randy, you want to touch on the information you have there?
The attached reference. Let's. Can I borrow this? The resolution essentially at the bottom of the resolution makes reference to the agreement, which is listed as an exhibit number and attached hereto and approved by the Gates County Board of Planning and Zoning. I'm going to go ahead and read out the agreement so that everybody understands exactly what it is. Okay. It's addressed to the Gates County Board of Supervisors, dated October 5th, 2009. Dear Chairman and Honorable Board, in response to your request on May 6, 2009, that the interested parties in special use permit number 2009-01 reach consensus and submit that agreement to you in writing, please find this document to comply with that request. Find the following to be the interested party agreement to the concerns expressed during the Gage County Planning and Zoning hearings February 12, 2009 and April 8, 2009, and Gage County Board of Supervisors hearing May 6, 2009. Item 1, mining activities shall be set back 1,300 feet from Gary and Lynn Reamer's residence, as well as the Hill, Robert, Seitz, and Stefan residences. Item 2, mining activities shall be set back 75 feet from the center line of all public roads adjacent property owners' boundaries. Item 3, Beatrice Concrete Company Incorporated will pay the cost of connecting adjacent residences to rural water service, including the cost of connecting the meter to the residence. Item 4, the mining lease between Shona Weiss and Beatrice Concrete Company Incorporated shall be written so that the equipment used to crush the rock remains on the current site's processing site. Item 5, the mining lease between Shona Weiss and Beatrice Concrete Company Incorporated shall be written so that the water discharged from the Shona Weiss mine be discharged into the lake at the current site's quarry. Item 6, mining lease between Shona Weiss and Beatrice Concrete Company Incorporated shall state that the customer entrance and or primary entrance shall remain at the current site's location. Item 7, the mining lease between Shona Weiss and Beatrice Concrete Company Incorporated shall state that a pre-blast survey of the Reamer's home shall be conducted prior to the commencement of mining the Shona Weiss property. The pre-blast survey shall cost shall be paid by the mining company. Following parties hereby agree that the above conditions and actions meet with their approval, and therefore that the Gage County Board of Supervisors approve special use permit number 2009-01. And it's signed by Gary and Lynn Reamers, Ross and Joan Stefan, John Hill, Beatrice Concrete Company, or on behalf of Beatrice Concrete Company Incorporated, Jamie D. Renshaw, President, and Harlan D. Shona Weiss. That's the full substance of the agreement. That is to be attached to the resolution if the board votes to pass that resolution.
Okay, that is all who signed up to speak. Is there any others?
Motion to close the public hearing.
I got one first. Mr. Seitz, you sent a letter to me in June of last year. Have your concerns been addressed? Could you come up here?
Well, I'm Robert Seitz.
There you go.
And I guess the concerns have been addressed, but I'm still a little discouraged with the crossing, and I hope they take care of it. Jamie's gave me assurances that they would, and I think it's probably going to need to be bladed every day just to keep the dirt that's drug on it from making ruts.
Okay.
And that's about all my main concern now.
Okay. Thank you. Matt?
Make the motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
Moved by Bauman, seconded by Byers to close public hearing. Discussion. Vote. 5-0 with in favor with Barnard abstaining. And now we need a motion to approve or disapprove resolution 09-10-03.
Make a motion to approve the resolution on special use permit number 09-10-03.
That's the resolution.
Second.
Moved by Bauman, seconded by Anderson. Discussion. Vote. 5-0 to approve with Barnard abstaining. That is it on that. We have a 10:30 public hearing on the issuance of a revenue bond by Hospital Authority Number 1 of Gage County, Nebraska, an amount not to exceed $2.5 million for the benefit of Mosaic, a Nebraska nonprofit corporation, in consideration of a resolution approving the issuance of such bond for the purpose of Section 147F of the Internal Revenue Code 1986 as amended.
Make a motion to open such hearing.
Motion to open such hearing.
Seconded.
Seconded by Groenewald. Discussion. Vote.
You want to read the whole thing?
6-0 in favor.
Could we please clear the room so we can keep doing our business? Thank you very much.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I am fine, thank you. My name is Lauren Lismer. I am with Gilmore and Bell from Lincoln, Nebraska. We are acting as bond counsel in this particular transaction. I understand that this is a process that is not new to you, for which I am grateful. The hospital authority met yesterday to approve the issuance of the bonds. The purpose of this public hearing is to satisfy the requirements of the Internal Revenue Code. The code requires that any time bond proceeds are going to be used by a non-governmental entity, a public hearing be held on the use of those proceeds. And in this case, the proceeds will be used by Mosaic to provide some remodeling and renovation, windows, roofs, heating, ventilating, and air conditioning improvements to their facility here in Beatrice. The code requires the approval of the, what's called the highest elected official. For purposes of the code, this board is the highest elected official, so that's why we are before you with this resolution. We will be happy to try and answer any questions that you might have.
Mr. Chairman. Just like we did with the hospital here locally before, they did the same thing you did. Just make very clear for the record, this is not taxpayer. This isn't going to be a levy that's levied
no,
by the county.
No,
you need to open a public hearing on that also. We did? Okay.
Yeah. No.
For the record.
Absolutely. The resolution states that it's not an obligation of the county or any political subdivision of the state. As I have told other political subdivisions in this kind of situation, you couldn't become obligated on it even if you wanted to. So the county is protected on this.
Okay, so she needs your name for the record. She missed that. If you got a card, we can get with you.
Lauren Wismer. And I have some execution copies if I could give those to you.
Okay, anything else for the public hearing? Motion to close the public hearing. Moved by Bauman, seconded by Byers. Discussion. Vote. 6-0 in favor. Need a motion to approve the issuance of such bonds.
That would be resolution 10-04.
Gary, 10-04. Need a second.
Second.
Seconded by Bauman. Discussion. Vote. 6-0 in favor. That's that easy.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Discussion of LB 955, Correctional Facility Reimbursement Act, and approve or disapprove sending a letter of support. Gus.
Morning. I hope you all have your hard copies that I sent out here a few days back. I thought it would be beneficial for the board to at least know about this. I also had county attorney review it. This is what I received from the Dakota County Board of Commissioners a couple weeks ago. I think Senator, is it Geis, I believe, up there, is trying to introduce it from their area. As you know, probably the Reimbursement Act that we've had from the years past hasn't been doing very well over the years. It's a pot of money they give annually, and then, of course, all the counties vie for it, and then it's gone. And then I think we've received one or two checks over the years, and that's about it. So this is something they're trying to do. Basically, in a nutshell, they're trying to get inmates to pay for their keep. And I wanted Randy to look at it first before he brought up talk about it, because his office plays a role in it, as they do in all the counties, because once the forms fill out, we have the prisoner fill the form out, it comes to the county attorney in that office or in that county, and they review it to see if he has or she has assets to go after to pay back the county. So I don't, Randy, you've had any comments on that at all once you review that?
Just after reviewing it, the only problem, of course, is that most of the time, a large part of the time, those particular defendants are probably not going to have many resources. It's going to be unusual when they do, but additionally, one of the problems is going to be that the county attorney's office is then going to have to try and do some research to try and locate those assets as well. And, of course, we don't necessarily have a whole lot of resources to do that. But the concept itself is fine. It's quite appropriate for us to be able, when we can, to go ahead and go after assets of criminals who have committed particular crimes. This would be in addition to the... It would really be sort of a restitution to the county for the cost of the criminal activity.
Right. And Okay, good. Good.
Gary?
It's a great idea, too, but how much time, if they don't pay, and then you go after them, you're going to end up putting them right back in jail, so they cost us more money again?
I guess what I'm saying is, if for the right defendant, it could be a nice tool. So it is a good tool to put in our toolbox, but the board shouldn't expect that from that we are going to be able to get restitution from every single defendant.
But we should send a letter in support at least, shouldn't we?
Yes. Yeah, I would recommend that you do.
And counties can opt out. They also have a clause there. My understanding is that if they don't want to belong and do this, they don't have to. So it's just for the board's information. I guess they make their decision if they want to send a letter or not. So.
This is approve or disapprove, so I move that we approve sending a letter of support.
Okay.
Second.
Moved by Barnard, seconded by Bauman. Discussion. Vote. 6-0. Gus, what else while you're up there?
That's it. I can report just briefly on the Law Enforcement Committee. We had, I think last week, we have some new members on there, so we just kind of trying to bring up speed on a few things we've been doing with the past. We're still working on the kitchen hood. The progress is a little slow because now we're between electricians and contractors and the people that install the hoods. We're still working through that. We had a couple 2-3 staff go to Hall County last week to the old jail, and we got a truckload and trailer load of various items that they had in the facility, tables and some chairs. We're looking at some doors and things such as that that we brought back. So we're going to try to implement some of those things over here. We've used a lot of the old cameras that you took out of the courthouse here with your new system. We've installed those over there now to give us some additional security on that. And the State Fire Marshal's office, I was informed they're starting to take over the inspections again. The city's not going to longer do that. They have a new investigator down here, inspector. I've talked to him in advance. I wanted to kind of find out what their thoughts were on the facility because we'll have an inspection coming, obviously, in the fall. And so he assured me he'll get with me, try to get a letter, maybe even appear in front of the board and kind of give some idea what they're looking at doing or what they think we're going to have to do. So I'm trying to get a little heads up on that. And I think that's about all I had for the meeting. That's the call. There's something else you guys can think of. So.
Problem with the hood was those switches were too high or something.
Something too high, and they didn't want to do that themselves. So like contractors got to come in and do that. Oh, and we are having a pretty major plumbing issue right now. So plumber's been up there trying to figure out how to handle it. We're going to try to get around jackhammering the concrete out of the hallway. We might have to come down to that. We're getting sewage backed up into our shower stalls and into our kitchen drains. So we're trying to get on that as quickly as we can.
How about the heat issue? We talked about that. It got down to 50 degrees during
Yeah, between
cold.
48 and 52. I've talked to Dave. He was going to check to see if there's enough electricity or if there's something they could do over there to handle it. I have to have about a 70 amp to handle like the heaters you have here in the courthouse right now.
220 too, I bet.
Yeah, and the problem is jail standards again says we have to be doing 65 and 85 year round. And of course, when it got down to 48 and 52, that probably the best thing. So we're trying to look at that as well. There's just a lot of things we're dealing with, but we're working through that and haven't heard back from Dave on that yet. So
we had talked about some radiant wall heaters on the
yes.
outside of the cells.
Yeah.
And those I don't think are 220, extra. No.
Mm-hmm. No. So
that would bring that temperature up pretty good.
And the need for some kind of storm windows on the north window?
Well, that's when Gary was on committee, we talked about those windows on the north side, and we thought we had a plan. And come to find out, it was going to be awfully expensive to put in windows because they had to meet code and then code for the city and then code for jail standards. So we opted to put the cover, the plastic covers on, which they puffed out like a wind sail, so we knew it was helping out. State Fire Marshal says we got to take them off because if they catch on fire, the smoke inhalation off of those just causes problems. So I'm back to square one on those, and we'll have to see now actually what windows cost, I guess, over there. So. I think that was about all.
I think that was about it.
Thank you, Gus.
Thank you.
Discuss and approve or disapprove changing genders for the Gage County official website. Matt.
Well, I think I had Dawn. She'd done some work and sent that email around to everybody. And I know Dave wanted to have some of the audio, potentially videos, things on the website. So Dave kind of spurred this on also. Essentially what this does is improves our website, gives us an opportunity to use a boilerplate format, if you will, that the other counties in Nebraska are using. I sent that, or Dawn maybe sent that email to everybody where there were several different designs you can go on there and look at. There's a lot more space for content. It just looks better. It's nicer, and there's opportunity to put more information out there. So we were the other day trying to come up with a domain name, and so there's a couple at the top of that piece of paper that was sent to just passed around just now. So the cost, I believe, is the initial setup is $460, $450. It's a one-time, and then it's $50 a month. Is that correct? And that, you know, each office can send in their own information that they want updated, and it's not a per diem charge. It's a monthly charge. So to much to that gentleman's chagrin, you could get in there every day and update your page, and they would do it for $50 a month for the entire county. So this is a potentially a better resource for people to be able to get out there. I know David talked about putting audio on there, so it wouldn't be a streaming feed, but they can click on it. It would download to their computer, and then they could listen to the board meetings if they so desired. So I think we're probably, I don't know if we got a hit counter on our website. It's probably, I don't know if it's what the usage
is. I don't think our current one does, but some of the other ones do, I believe, and that'd be interesting to know how many people are actually accessing it.
And then if we went to a new one, it'd be nice to see if they like it a lot more, so more people are going there. It wouldn't supersede
it's
any of
the
other.
It's a lot easier to find than what we have now.
Yeah.
I mean, the address there is easy.
And I know there's at least two other elected officials that have their own website there. Simply, if you clicked on the Sheriff's Department, it could be a link and just send you to your website. So
we have a motion on the floor, Rex.
No, we do not.
I would move that we approve changing vendors for the official Gage County website.
Moved by Barnard, seconded by...
Specifically to MIPS, Gary?
Yes.
We have seconded by Bauman. Discussion. Vote.
6-0 in favor. Discuss and approve or disapprove placing digital auto files on board meetings on the website.
I guess I'll jump in on this, and I appreciate Matt, particularly Dawn, had done a lot of background work on the website per se, and it definitely needed some tuning up. I hope MIPS can do it for us. Talked to Joe Powers the other day. He said what we're suggesting here would be very inexpensive and easy to do as at least a first step of getting these meetings public, available to the public. It would basically, since we are now digitally recording through our new sound system, the clerk would just have to download it on through the computer to the internet site, and then there would be basically just an address to click on that you'd highlight, and then the whole proceedings would be downloaded to the individual's computer or MP3 player or PDA or whatever they want to download it to. I'm not sure the word podcast is correct. I don't think it probably is, but they could download the audio files of the meeting and they could listen to them at any time. Joe did say that doing anything through the internet, like with live streaming, even the audio, but especially if we ever went to video, like we'd probably like to do at some point, that is a lot more complicated and more costly. He keeps talking about bandwidth. But I bet down the road all of that will be more possible, and the price of that kind of stuff will come down. So this would be, in my mind, a first step is to get our audio available to everybody. And this would be media across the state. You know, we do something real exciting, shoot everybody, Lincoln paper, Omaha can click on and hear the actual dialogue that we're doing. And so I think it really would open up government to the people, and that's what everybody's looking for these days. And then, you know, down the road, if we want to hook up with a local cable channel or something, I mean, to me, I guess I'm getting more comfortable with that. Previously, I always said, since we're county government, I wasn't all that excited about having it available on cable if the folks in Wymore and Claytonia, for example, couldn't access it. But if we can at least make the audio accessible countywide or worldwide on the web, I guess personally I'd be open about anything. I'm sure not against televising these meetings. So,
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve placing the digital audio files of board meetings on the website.
Second.
Moved by Barnard, seconded by Anderson. Discussion. Vote. 6-0 in favor. Approve or disapprove procedure for obtaining board recommendation on special designated liquor licenses. Dawn.
Well, after our last permit, we determined that we didn't really have anything in writing. And so I brought this to you guys, 2 weeks ago, and Randy's office looked it over and discussed his recommendations. you should have a copy of what we think would be a good policy in writing.
Okay. Need a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second it.
Moved by Bauman, seconded by Gronewald. Discussion. Matt.
Fine with this, Gus. You used to hit, spear this up. Does this fit your needs?
Yes. We have something black and white leased now. People come in. It was unusual situation last time around. She thought we should have been notifying her, and I explained that that's not the way it works. She's applying for it from the board. So hopefully this one may come with issues.
I've never had anything in writing before, so now it's
did she get her license? You don't know.
Pardon? I don't know if you got that license from the state. I don't know.
No, it was in. Well, I'll tell you about it later.
Okay, any more discussion? Vote. 6-0. Committee reports.
I wanted to remind everyone you've received invitations to the Nebraska Medical Association, the Public Health Solutions presentation at Classics tomorrow night. Certainly want to re-invite everybody if you haven't already RSVP'd. I know several of you have. I think it'll be an excellent presentation. The former director of the medical director for Nebraska Department of Health and Human Services, Dr. Dick Raymond, will be the main presenter, and then we'll have a panel besides that. So I think it's awfully good always to learn what public health is, and I think we all have a different perception of what that is and responsibilities, and Public Health Solutions has done a wonderful job in putting this together, and I'm your representative to that board and certainly would want to re-invite you if you would like to come.
There is a social time, too, by the way.
Good medicine never involves social time.
You have it on here.
Is there a meal there, Danny, with that at 6:30?
No, there'll be some more.
Eat beforehand.
Okay. Yeah. Eat ahead of time.
Matt.
Just Finance Committee, something that's come up as we've talked about renovation issues, and I won't get into the topic that we'll discuss probably in the next couple of weeks, but one of the things I think we probably, as a board, need to do a better job of is keeping people aware of how much we had budgeted for the project, approximate dollars that we spent, things like that. I know that as these change orders have come across, we've had some banter back and forth. I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. We're just, it may be in our own individual ways, trying to bring information out. So we probably need to look at bringing a lot more of those discussions to this venue and maybe out of committee so that we're all up to speed and at the same time we can ask appropriate questions. Just going back to the budget, what we had budgeted in addition or total, and this is, would include the $2.85 million bond. In the budget also, we had $700,000 out of inheritance that was budgeted. And out of building and grounds, we had $15,000 that was budgeted. So that gets the total budgeted to $3.565. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to spend that all. But I know that there's been some concern, very appropriately, from other board members as well as the public about how much is this costing, where are we at on this, how are things going. So just the other day, and I've just put a date down here, February 18th, based on the dollars that we had budgeted, we still have $1.1 million approximately to spend. Now, that doesn't mean we have to spend it all at once, but I think that we knew there were going to be some extra costs out there, things we didn't know about. And so if we look at that, the bond of 2.85, and one of the things I think needs to come forward too is, remember, even before I was on the board, there was a discussion, it could cost $8 million to redo the entire thing. So that was whittled down. 2.85 never was the intent to do the entire thing. There was some necessity, nuts and bolts, very important things that needed to be done. And we knew there was going to be some additions. So those were where the other dollars came from. So approximately, and I hesitate to put a penny on this because there's claims that continue to come in, but $1.1 million is about what we have left that was in the budget to spend. One of the other things that we probably ought to look at, too, is keeping people informed of all the good things that have taken place, because we have improved this building. There are things that are going to, if not structurally, safety-wise, that are going to improve it. Probably the biggest problem is we've got the first and the basement that's probably had some of the least attention, and those are the ones that people see most often. So From a finance standpoint, I guess I just want to throw out there that I think we've spent, what's that get us up to? We've spent about 2.4 approximately, so we've got about 1.1 left to spend. I think it's good and healthy that we have those discussions in open forum and we question, and I think that there's probably going to be some changes based on the discussions that we have had. So I think that that's appropriate, and I just wanted to share that from a finance committee standpoint. The other thing I wanted to talk about was trying to get a meeting, if I can get the elected officials to agree to when I'm available. It's all about me. No. To sit down and talk about potential adjustments for wages for employees moving forward to the next year, trying to dust off some of that budget stuff again. So that stuff will be coming up too, and try to have some of those meetings to keep everybody informed of those.
Aaron? Going back to what Matt said about the bond and that, I think some of the questions that people had is everybody knew that the bond was $2.85 million, but then we had the bid, you know, originally of $2,145,000, and then I think originally on top of the $2.85 million, I know we all knew we'd take a couple hundred thousand out of inheritance for the elevator, and I think from that point on is where some of the questions probably have came from, but the buildings tore apart. We have to get it back together.
And I think, my personal opinion, we have more of those discussions, keep doing what we're doing, stay on top of where we're spending, willingly and openly share those. I don't think we've tried to do anything behind closed doors, but sometimes not being as upfront, all of a sudden there seems to be a shadow of suspicion. Well, let's remove that. Here's what it is. Here's what we've spent. And
maybe if we all communicate a little better with some email on just the information itself would certainly have alleviated a lot of these things probably. At least for me, if I would have known some of them, it saves taking up time at the meetings, but that is what it is. So.
Any more, Committee Matt?
I'm monopolizing again. Sorry, emergency management and EMS, shifting gears. Did meet last week with Gary was there at our meeting, and Rick Schreiner from the County Attorney's Office, Dean Cole, Dr. Rice, and Don Harmon were there, and we talked about moving forward and help to draft a new ambulance interlocal agreement. Dr. Rice is going to work on putting some standards in there that are national standards as well as state standards so that we make sure that we're trying to raise the bar. As that draft comes across, it's going to be funneled initially through the county attorney's office, and then I'll get that to everybody so everyone's comfortable with that. We also obviously are going to involve the other ambulance service providers and their legal counsel and their representation. So hopefully we can all come together, and we've got some time on this. The current contract doesn't run out until the end of July, but you got to give 90 days notice. And so we're going to dust off that gorilla again, and we'll see if we can wrestle with this time. So now I'm done.
Rex, we're having an insurance meeting Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock at the library. There was concerns about some formulary issues. I believe Sam Nigro is going to be there, and I asked him to bring an update, an historical perspective of where we've been and maybe how much money the county saved since we went to our self-insurance. I invited the news media. Matt said he can be there. Danny's going to try to be there, if at all possible. And so I want everybody to know that we're having that, and at the next meeting, hopefully I'll get some kind of written report so we kind of know where we're at on that and maybe have some suggestions or modifications to what we're doing. If anybody has any questions or want us to talk about anything specific, let me know and we'll put it on the agenda. I don't want it to be any more than an hour and a half. We're going to limit it so we don't get too carried away. And I learned that from Matt, by the way.
What, keep me quiet?
No.
Another committee report.
No.
Surely.
I went to RCND. I can stay for all of it because I went to the legislative meeting in the afternoon. They always have speakers at their meetings, which makes it it always goes till noon, starts at 9:30 and goes till noon. This time they had the kids from the Nemaha, Kids Against Drugs and Violence and Alcohol. And their kids work on a $100,000 grant that they get from the state, a five-year grant. They get that every year, but they have to have that grant matched every year by their county. And it's a NADA group and a YADA group. It sounds like a odd name. But that's what they work, and they won the regional in our RCND district. And they're now also in the running for the national. So that they were our speakers for that morning. We applied again for the grant for the chemicals for the school for this fall, but we are going to have the hazardous waste here in Beatrice. And that's all that I got to stay for till 11 o'clock that day.
If you guys, I gave you a picture that it's of the courthouse, and I don't know what year it is, but the Civil War monument is not there yet. We have talked about putting lighting, especially on the east side where it's so dark to the parking. But there's period lighting here in the picture. And you guys want to look at that too. So, I mean, it's something that would be kind of cool. But if you look at it, the south side has a stairway entrance to it even then. So I don't know what year that was. But
I think it's probably an architect's drawing of what it might look like. Because I think there's some things on here that never actually happened. One, as I understand it, the clock was never installed until after the post office was torn down, and then that clock was brought up here. Because you know the architect intended there to be one, but it didn't happen until the 60s. And I'm not real sure about this front step thing. We may have to get Lorene Reed to sell. It'd be fun to have Lorene or something to do a presentation.
The real thing is that, you know, the lighting is what I was looking at.
I personally, in this kind of a building grounds report, we think lighting is really essential on the east side and getting over people safely in and out from the parking lots. But the more we look at this and just in conversation, talk to a few board members, I would like to see it all the way around the courthouse at some point. And obviously we've got to finish the grading and finish the sidewalks and the sprinkler system and reestablish the lawn. And so we may, but during part of that, I would think the lighting would be possible and not a big, horrible cost, I wouldn't think. And Matt did a nice report on the financing, and we need to mention that the county attorneys and Tri-County Attorneys Association and others are starting to raise funds for the courtroom renovation, and so that's kind of a hoped-for financial injection that would, you know, help what county funds are available for renovation. And I believe we're also looking for possibly a tourism grant. I don't know exactly where that is in process, but at least many of us think that'd be appropriate use of some of that funds. And if people haven't toured the building, particularly like you guys running for office, have somebody or just run up through, particularly the courtrooms, but even up on third floor, take a quick look. It's pretty amazing and huge project what's going on. The other committees went to tourism. Running along just fine. The Welch Center is going to submit a grant application. I think that's probably the big one. Another application probably be coming our way is for the local, I don't know if YRI is the right name, but the baseball leagues. And it's amazing how many motel rooms that the sports activities fill, you know, over a year's time. Some of the detail on that was interesting to hear again. Again, with building and grounds, fire marshal gets together with our architect hopefully tomorrow, and that's going to determine an awful lot of what happens on second floor.
Dave, on that visitors committee thing, I know we did a lot of work with the Welch Center in Wymore. They received a lot of funds, and I think it last year, I think the message was kind of sent that we've got to spread that around a little bit more.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised that Mr. I think it's Jones is coming back.
Irwin, yeah,
with the request. But there are a lot of things in the county that if we get new people and new ideas, like you said about the baseball and stuff like that, that hopefully we would look at that and try to serve some new interests, because we have served some of the others very, very well when they've applied.
Matt, did you want an executive session?
I can make a motion to go to executive session to discuss real estate.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Seconded by Gronewald. Discussion. Vote. 6-0.
Can you send me a copy of that? Your license is still file.
I know that clock was before.
We're all. Oh, it is done. We're back into
need a motion to come out of executive session.
So moved.
Moved by Bauman.
Sorry.
Seconded by Byers. Discussion. Vote. 6-0. Anything else for the good of the order? Anything else for the good of the order? Meeting adjourned. 11:29.